First of all, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
It's great to meet you and have you in studio here. Thank you very much for coming in. What is it that you like the most, that you think is the most important work that you do for the Peace Corps that pertains to the human element, the people that work there that caused you to get nominated for this award?
Two things. One is I build the team for our IT professionals in our shop and then at the post globally. And then my job is to make sure they're recognized for their good work and to make sure that they are continually building their skill set as well as contributing to what we do.
Your colleague, Tracy, when she nominated you, said that increases in employee satisfaction were one of the reasons that she thought you were qualified to win this award. What do you do to drive that? And what are the things that your employees tell you are really important to them to make them feel satisfied about what they're doing at work?
I think from what do I do to drive it is my leadership and making sure that they have good directors and managers to whom they report and that those people work as a team. So it's leadership by example. So if I had directors that fought with each other, which I had when I first came into the organization, they would fight as well. And so by modeling the behavior that we want them to have, in terms of leadership, then they adopt that behavior. In terms of helping people understand that everybody makes a contribution and that they have to work cross-organizationally. I firmly believe that if my direct employees are satisfied and happy with where they're working and feel like they're making a contribution, then that flows over into the customer community. And then the customers are happy as a result of with the service they provide. One of my biggest challenge in working with a technical organization is they don't speak English real well, and they speak in tech terms. Mm-hmm. And so I've been doing a tremendous amount of work with Tracy to help them understand that they need to speak in plain English, whether it comes to our technical alerts that we send out saying such and such a post is down or whatever, or whether and how they interact with the customer and how to use words effectively. So we brought in teaching plain English, writing in plain words, and that kind of thing. So we've seen an improvement. And part of it is that I really believe that if I can help them be more effective interacting with people, then the technical skills will take care of themselves.
Now, you mentioned when you stepped into the situation you're in now, there was some dissonance there. There were some things going on. When you step into a situation like that, what experience or what skills are the most important ones, do you think, to apply to a situation like that to try to diffuse it and get people focused back on the task at hand, the mission of the agency, rather than on the back and forth stuff?
Well, when I use consulting skills. I was in the consulting business for about 25 years. So what I did is I went in and I did an assessment, and I talked to everyone at all different levels. I talked to my customers, my directors, my staff at the working level in the data center, everyone. And then I told them what I found. And part of it was to take all my managers off site, do a strategic planning meeting, and to set new direction. What I found is that some of the leadership there didn't want to change. So through organizational change, through literally letting people go, a couple of people, we changed the leadership. It took a year and a half, but we got it done.
The importance of that, though, is not lost on people who are in that same situation at another agency that you found yourself in at that time.
As my chief engineer once said to me, he said, "Doreen, we don't always like your decisions, but you sure can make them." And that was a big change for them. They knew that I was capable of making decisions. I could make tough decisions. And that we would move forward. When people leave, I see that as an opportunity to increase our skill set, bring new blood into the organization. It's traumatic sometimes when people leave, particularly when your good folks leave and you have to replace them. So it's a continual effort, and I encourage decision making, which is not a government trait all the time.
Doreen Andrews is the Chief Information Officer at the Peace Corps and winner of a 2012 COSI Award for Excellence in Human Resources Issues. And that note that you make about that, that is interesting, and I'm not I've heard that from a lot of other people, that there is a tendency to maybe overthink things. How do you break people out of those habits if they've been at an agency or in the government as a whole, maybe agency to agency for a long period of time, and they don't think that way, that the tendency tends to be toward analysis and conversation and discussion and not getting to the decision?
Well, at the Peace Corps, it is a consensus-based organization, so people don't want to move forward with large changes or even small changes sometime without really talking about it and making sure everyone's comfortable and that kind of thing. I did a couple of things when I came in. I didn't want to destroy that environment, but what I did in our investment review board, for example, I divided the world, our membership, into those who are decision makers and those who are advisors. And that really allowed me to focus key decisions with the people who are actually responsible for leading the business. So, and on top of that, then, if people don't want to make a decision, I take them through a process that goes something like, so if you don't want to make a decision now, are you willing to live with these consequences? So they'll think about that. And sometimes they'll say, yes, we need to spend more time on this. And then I back off and say, what is it we need to do in order to be able to make this decision? So I take them through a very structured discussion process where we identify the issues, we classify them, we prioritize them, because a lot of times people want to talk about stuff that really doesn't make a big difference in the final decision. So I'm constantly sorting and weeding and facilitating a structured discussion around what we have to make decisions about.
You've used a couple of words in so far that I think come from your consulting background. You've used the term customers a number of times.
Yes.
You've used the term business a number of times. Is it hard to go into an agency and get folks to think that way? That's a whole different way of thinking, in that we're serving customers and that we're running a business, maybe not for profit and maybe not with the same end that a commercial business does. But the idea is the same, to produce something that's of value to somebody else.
Correct. My approach was first to reestablish the IT organization as a responsive organization. And from that, then I said, okay, who are our customers? And we have a customer relationship management program at the executive level, at the director level, not down in at the working level. So strategically, we've worked very hard to work with each of the offices. So one is to raise the effort. My next future is to move from customer to partner so that our offices partner with us. We're trying to get them so that they would never try to make an IT decision or think about IT without contacting us first. And I'd say we're about 75% of the way there.
I'm hearing those words more now in government than I ever have before. And I think that's a good thing for the very reasons that you're talking about. If I'm sitting at another agency and I'm seeing some resistance to that idea, either through your CIO experience or your consulting experience, what would you tell me to do to try to sow those seeds to at least get people to start to think differently rather than we're just executing a mission, which is certainly important, don't get me wrong, but to start to think about that idea of we're going to create something of value and that's going to be how we execute the mission of the agency?
Well, you have to build trust with people, and you have to be strong enough in your individual self to be able to take the leadership position. And when everyone sits around the table and say, okay, you know, you've got to be the one who says, okay, what are our next steps? And let me get this organized for us. And who's going to be responsible for this, this, and this? And when you have someone in a leadership position like that, things start to happen. And people look to you to say, oh, this person can get us to the next step, can make us. The other thing I do a lot of in my organization is in a traditional federal organization or a government organization or people or a nonprofit organization, people will sit around and try to solve problems at the working level and spin their wheels for weeks, you know, instead of escalating the issue. And I've really pushed my people to say, look, if you've got an issue that's more than a week old and you're not making progress on it, then you need to come to me and your director and let us remove that obstacle for you. We will. I don't tolerate swimming in the weeds. And because my job is to protect them, to make them successful, and to make our customers, our business partners successful.
Well, and that's an interesting way to frame it, too, because that's another thing that I'm hearing, another approach that I'm hearing across government that I don't think was very common until recently. And that is the idea that leadership is there not to watch over you and lord over you and make sure that you're doing everything that's on your job description, but that term help make people successful is tremendous.
Well, it's a more performance-based approach. And, you know, I ran several companies and I've worked in many organizations. It's like, I don't care when you work. I mean, this hours thing is a government thing. That's not my issue. I need to know when I'm going to get my deliverables. And I need them by certain dates and our customers need them by certain dates. So it's all performance based. And that is a different attitude. It makes people accountable. Somebody said, well, I didn't hear from this person. I sent them 3 emails. I said, did you pick up the phone? Did you call their boss? Did you come to me? You don't wait a week. You know, you act as opposed to be passive. You're assertive. So you get away from the passive aggressive behavior and get more into straight assertive behavior that is supportive, friendly. I'm here to solve your problem. Let's figure it out together, that kind of thing. So it's much more action-oriented.
Doreen Andrews is the Chief Information Officer at the Peace Corps, winner of a 2011 CAUSE Award. This new way of thinking is, it seems to me, some agencies are adopting it, as you have, because you understand the value of it. Other agencies are kind of a little more resistant. It's more kicking and screaming. A lot of it's driven, I think, by budget concerns. You're, I imagine, subject to that the same way as other agencies. How are you working within a constricted budget framework to try to continue to keep some of the success that you're having on some of these issues going?
Two things. One is we were under terrible budget restrictions last year because of the issues with everything that's going on in Congress. One of the things that I try to do when I'm not screaming and against the wall with the budget cuts is to turn them into opportunities and also to prioritize and help people discuss the consequences of not doing something. We can't do everything, and it's a tendency of some people to just say, oh, we'll do that. We'll take care of that. And then you push that on your people, and they just burn out. So I'm working very hard to set close parameters. You know, somebody will call one of the customer relationship managers and said, I need this now. And I go back and I said, you can't have it now. Let's talk about what your issue is and to see when we might be able to help you. So it becomes a dialogue instead of order taking and then just pushing it behind. I think I've had a real advantage being in the Peace Corps because we're a fairly small organization. I mean, globally, we're only about 3,000 direct hire employees, and then we have our volunteers. So our staff is a combination of direct hires and local contract people in the country. So that's about 3,000 people, and it's easy to make a difference. I mean, I sit on the senior staff. I report to the chief of staff, and many CIOs get buried in the large. You know, to work for the Department of Transportation or the Department of Commerce, you know, they all, each agency has, it just gets very complex. So the simplicity of our organization, because it's fairly small, makes it easier for me to make a difference.
My colleague Mike Causey here, the namesake of our award. Mike, when you listen to Doreen talk about the successes that she's having at her agency and some of the things that are going on there, what do you hear that's different than, say, the typical agency fill in the blank as far as how she works with her people and what the people expect and leadership and so forth?
Well, I was going to ask you this, Doreen, but you sort of partially answered it when you said you came into the organization and people were feuding, you got them to stop. And I thought, how do you know? How do you know the situation, and how do you get them to stop? Because there's a book there. It's a new Dale Carnegie.
That's right.
You walk around and you listen and you look at how people are interacting with each other in the different offices and who's whining about what and what's complaining. So you open your ears and you listen to the organization. And it was very easy within the first week for me to pick up, because people will say, well, those two fight all the time. And I'd say to the director, I'd say, well, why don't you go in, intervene and facilitate and help them learn how to talk to each other? Because people, IT people are very passionate about their belief systems, about what's the best product. He said, well, that's not my job. I said, yes, it is. He said, no, it's not. He left within 3 months after I got there.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I want to ask you one other thing about, I think the average American, if you mention Peace Corps, if they're even aware of it, they think of John Kennedy and the New Frontier, and they might be surprised that it's still around, that it's lasted this long. What is the scope of it? You said you have 3,000 employees, some of them contract or most contract probably. How about the number of volunteers?
There are 9,000 volunteers approximately all over the world right now. We have 72 posts in 76 countries. It is a viable organization. We're still doing the same work that we were doing 50 years ago, but the nature of it has changed in terms of volunteers. We're doing a lot more English teaching. We're doing a lot more health-related development. We're doing new things in agriculture, and we're really focusing on six important sectors and work very closely with the countries to ensure that we're doing the kinds of things in terms of development that the country needs. We are the feet on the ground, and some people have said we're the cheapest good relationship builder in the world, the Peace Corps, because our people are there to work with the community hand in hand.
You're,
and they're still doing
stops on the ground,
not
the boots.
But because we're a modern organization now, we need the technology and infrastructure that allow the posts and volunteers to access the internet, to share video. I mean, we're doing training differently than we used to. We're working with communities differently. We may be working in a community that doesn't have a lot of electric all the time, but everyone has a cell phone. So the infrastructure that the community has, the country has, is like skipped. And therefore, we have to be able to respond. So if I'm going to teach you how to graft a tree, but I don't necessarily have good command of the local language, I'll video it. We'll have somebody translate it. We'll show you the video. We'll work together on it. 5 years ago, there wasn't any video. And now everybody's doing video, and it's our job in the OCIO to make sure that we have ways of sharing that information globally where we didn't before.
Doreen Andrews, the Chief Information Officer at the Peace Corps, is one of our winners of a 2012 COSI Award. You mentioned you have about 3,000 people in your organization, and you talked about the hands-on approach that you took to try to get a hold of what was going on there. Does that scale, do you think, in an organization where there are 25,000 people or 50,000 people? Does it work to take the same approach, or do you have to alter that approach because one person maybe can get around to 3,000 people in short order, but a larger organization, that might not be as easy to do?
Well, my direct influence, I only have about 80 people working for me. I think what you do is you build coalitions, you build advisory boards. Look at organizations like FedEx and other high-performing private industry. They're very large. They're complex. But they have ways of communicating and working cross-organizationally that makes them successful. And they're able to act very quickly.
It's interesting because I think we're at a kind of a turning point in the way that people at agencies look at organizational management. For a long time, there was an aversion to the idea of we have to run this government agency like a business. And there was a school of thought that said, well, that won't work because agencies are dramatically different and we don't report to shareholders and so on. It seems now that there's more of a hybrid approach where people at agencies are willing to take your point of view and adopt what works and make it fit a government or a public sector framework. And choose the pieces of private sector successes that work that are appropriate. Is that a fair observation, you think?
I think that's a fair observation. For example, in the IT arena, we have mandates that we have to conform with certain federal regulations that don't exist in private industry. Our security requirements are much higher than in private industry, although that's changing. When we talk about a hybrid model, you know, we don't have a profit bottom line, but we do have a mission bottom line. And getting people focused on that mission and getting them out of their little silo world to say, you know, my job is not just to put switches together. My job is to keep the global network operating that so the posts can talk to each other, so we can handle emergency situations with volunteers. That changing, the talking about things in different ways makes a big difference. I also think that the federal government has made some great strides in the past years regarding performance-based awards, providing ways to reward people with time off and other and recognition. And one of the things I do is I have a small awards budget, and every quarter we get nominations from everyone, and then my directors and I figure out how much money we can spend, and then we give awards. We've been able to increase the amount of award that we give without having to go through all kinds of hierarchical approvals. And that was a big thing for the Peace Corps. It took a lot of us from different offices to work it out, but we've been able to change those policies. So I think that at least at the Peace Corps, we have a major reform effort going on to modernize ourselves, to get out of the paper world, to streamline our policies, to give authority to the lowest level possible. And I think, you know, 10 years ago, 7 years ago, you wouldn't see any of that. You know, we just go in and we do our thing and try to travel as much as possible and, you know, get meals paid for.
You said you were a consultant for a long time.
Yes, I was.
And so obviously you've done things like this in other places. I would think walking into A, the federal government, B, the Peace Corps mentality, if you will. It's not your typical federal agency. It's not your typical anything. Is this the toughest thing you've ever done?
No.
Okay.
No. The toughest thing I ever did was stay with AT&T for 12 years. And I became a division manager when I was 35 years old, and it was way over my head. So that was the toughest thing I ever did. And I built two small consulting companies. This, to me, is my retirement job. It allows me to take everything I've learned through working 12 years with a very large organization that was still a monopoly, and all my years of consulting with federal agencies as well as private industry on technology and technology integration and change management and business process reengineering, and just do it. In other words, I'm not advising anybody but myself at this point. So I'm using everything I learned through all those years of consulting and applying it to a leadership position, which I think is just a treat. I mean, I walk into the office every morning. I go, oh, good, I get to lead today. It's really exciting.
Doreen, thank you very much for your time today. You've answered a number of questions that we have posted on our Causey Awards page on our website, and you can find those using search term Causey Awards at federalnewsradio.com. I enjoyed the answers to all of your questions, but one in particular I wanted to ask you about before we let you go. We asked you, what's the worst piece of advice you've ever received? And you responded, be a good girl, do what you're told, and don't ask too many questions. Why is that the worst advice you've ever gotten?
I grew up through the feminist movement in the 70s when women were not in positions of leadership and women were taught to keep their mouth shut. I had an advantage. I'm short and I'm blonde. I've always been this way, but I've always had a very large mouth, and it's allowed me to surprise people. And from a consulting point of view, women, I found in my personal experience, were much less threatening to men when they were your customer. And therefore, I had a lot of really strong relationships where people took my advice, and I helped them apply it, and they were never threatened that I was trying to come in and take over their job. So I've become probably, I still get a lot of feedback, you're very strong, Doreen. Well, if I were a guy, what wonderful leadership you have, you know, is rather being the bitch in the group, you know.
Well, I wish you the best at Peace Corps. Thank you very much for coming in and telling us your story, and congratulations on this award. It's a pleasure to meet you and talk to you.
Thank you very much.